Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3.
I taught at Scott School for 27 years, and then after the middle school came, I finished up at Perry Heights. Taught 7th and 8th grade, basically, social studies. Last years I taught the Horizon classes for the top students. Supposedly the top students in the school. As far as the classroom, I remember best, it'd be hard to say. I would think the one in 19, I'm not even sure what it was, when the tornado hit and I had 90 kids out of Burdette Park, and we left at noon. It took us till 5 o'clock that evening to get back home again. That was an exceptional class, and it just happened that they were with me when we were out there. But I can't even remember what year it was. I guess my wife would know when that storm hit. Do you remember that? It came up suddenly in the afternoon. It was June the 6th, and I believe it was
1986 or so.
Yeah, maybe 88. I didn't know how bad it was until I had some kids around me telling jokes. We were all on the upper level, and all of a sudden, I noticed all the girls were crying, and the trees were falling around. I said, "Hey, we better get downstairs." That was not only the storm, but it was also an outstanding class that I had. Hmm. So that date was 1982, that we had the big storm. Typical day was, usually get to school half an hour early, and didn't have duty that day, sit in the lounge and tell stories until class time, and then I just had basically social studies classes all day, and one planning period and one lunch period, and of course they varied different times. Was a sponsor of student council, and once a week or so we had a student council meetings. I always had good relationship with the administrators I worked with. I never really had a bad principal. I think the downtown administration, that's something else. So, it's a different story. They're a little out of touch. Describe a student you remember. Well, I had two in one class. A girl who recently died, she had a doctor's degree. Maybe 5'10" or 5'11", a tall girl. Just brilliant, just very intelligent. And then the boy in the class was small. He was equally intelligent. He was a tremendous athlete. They had a city hop, step, and jump record that was like 27 years old, and he beat it by a foot, I think. I don't know what he's doing, but it's probably pretty good now. But I had a lot of good students. It's hard to say. Well, you figure over that many years, a couple thousand, I guess.
Yeah.
I usually spent the summer, not all day, of course, but working on my curriculum. I guess for the first 25 years I taught, I really looked forward to going back to school in the fall. Things changed then over the years with the discipline and interference, basically, from people outside the school where you can run the school the way you want it to. It's, if you, I mean, a principal is almost afraid to make moves where he might step on someone's toes or something like that. But this one, just after the middle school here, just almost collapsed. Middle school is the worst thing that ever happened in public schools in Evansville.
Didn't Prairie Heights used to be?
Used to be K through 8.
It was K through 8? Because I know at one point there was some kids who used to come over to West Terrace. Or from West Terrace? Yeah. Some of the kids from Prairie Heights would come over to West Terrace.
Well, that was after the middle school.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. See, West Terrace, Prairie Heights, Scott, all the others were just K through 8. Mm-hmm. And it was a great system. And people would, compliment us. I noticed probably the last 10 or 12 years we get people in here from Ohio and the East to complain a little bit about the K-8 system, but it's just because it was different from what they had where they were at. But the system was a fine system. What they did with the middle school, they just it was more of a junior high school than the middle school. But they moved the kids all into this stuff too soon and everything. Sixth graders have no business being in that environment. They belong in the lower grades. And most people were against it. They came up with the idea of the middle school when I was president of the Teachers Association. And we killed it almost immediately. They didn't really, the administrations were not strong. But they, when you got in Carnegie, they didn't know what they were talking about. They just, we want this and things. I called a meeting at North High School and invited all the parents who were interested and brought in Dale Harris, who's no relation to me, between ISTA, and pretty well made money out of it. They had no idea what they were doing. So they dropped it then, and then a few years later, without asking anybody, they just came back and conservative. But it didn't help the school system. It didn't help the development of the kids. It may have helped to create a few elementary jobs for a high school teacher, which there were too many of at that time. So that, I guess that all fits in with curriculum and things. It's, like I said, I taught almost, all the social studies, and at least for the last 30 years. How far did my paycheck go? I think, like a lot of other people, my wife, who didn't work, she did some substitute teaching, but she didn't work. About when the kids were ready for high school, we decided if they were going to go to college, we needed some more money and things. And she did go back to work at that time, but it's basically because when everyone else is outgoing two salaries, it makes it rougher for you to live off of one. But it pushes that old inflation up. My advice to mothers would be to stay home and take care of their kids, and then their defunded jobs and everything else. I guess that shows the mystery there. I've got a daughter with a master's degree that stays home and takes care of the children, and she's very glad she did. Of course, her husband's an attorney, and it's not really a financial problem. But the paycheck, we usually went all the way because we made it go all the way. We've been going by a lot of things that we didn't need. That's why I play with all my toys now. I've got a train set out in the garage in a village that you wouldn't believe. Extracurricular activities I was involved in. I was president of the Teachers Association. I was on the ISTA board of directors. I had student council. I always was in charge of History Day until the last few years when soccer practice and things like that became important in the curriculum. As far as extracurricular activities, I always kept pretty busy. I always had Scott when I was there. I had the recreation until we found out I had myself and I don't know where she is. Not a thing to go on.
Hello, we are unable.
Now, where was I?
Talking about recreation.
Myself, I had two assistants, and then we usually had a half a dozen parents. Had probably of seventh and eighth graders at Scott, probably had 95% of the parents. Kids loved it. All of a sudden the parents started pushing, they wanted dances and things like that, and some boys didn't really want that at all. Then we all got settled down one day, and we got the custodian said he had to come in there and mop up afterwards. That was part of the contract. We found out that he made more money from pushing the mop over the floor than the three teachers made combined working the whole evening. with the dancing, that thing, I think the recreation just kind of moved off. It became too expensive really to have it. That's all in my opinion.
Did you ever notice any difference in parents' involvement between early on and later?
No, I can remember early on when we had a teacher at school that for some reason hated outside reading, and she wanted to bring parents in to do the morning duty. And at the time, I think the point was made, hey, let's just do our job and let the parents do their job. The interesting thing, when parents walk into school, now there are some that work hard and do a lot for the school, and this isn't 100% true, but 90% of them are there for their own kid. They're not there for all the interest of all the other kids. This is really a problem. Parents have their job, but they should not be jobs involved in teaching in the schools. But there are always, basically the administration downtown said, well, we've got to have these people, we've got to have their input and that type of thing. And when you get your appendix taken out, the doctor doesn't ask you how he should do it or anything. And then this is one of the big problems that I can see throughout, that has come about throughout the years, is that the best teachers aren't basically the administrators. They're people that get into positions where they need other people and that type of thing. The first prerequisite, not that all good teachers would be good administrators, but if you can't reach that first step, then you should go on to the next. We had a girl from IU out there one time who was a student teacher, basically, and her title was, she was an administrative cadet or something like that. You know, she knew right then she was going to be an administrator, and I don't, to me it should be the next step in teaching. And like I said, all good teachers aren't necessarily going to be administrators. But if you can't pass that goal of being a good teacher, you're probably not going to be a good administrator either. But I can think of one here in the city that all he did all day long was show movies. And as soon as he became principal of school, he started setting up strong rules that the teachers had to come to him and explain why they showed certain movies. And he's still around. Historical event that happened during my teaching career was the death of Kennedy. Which the kids, it had no real strong impact on them at the time. Stop class, and you told them. There were questions about it and that type of thing, but it didn't seem to bother them. Explosion when all the astronauts were killed. The kids took that pretty well until they came in and started telling them they needed psychological. everyone's in on the act. Years ago, they should have run the money changers out of the temple. But now that they're all in there, the psychiatrist and the psychologist, we even had a doctor telling us at one meeting why we shouldn't paddle kids. And believe me, I wasn't a paddler. Maybe in all those years I paddled 3 kids. But here's this doctor who later admitted to us that he had a 4-year-old once a month that drove him up to the wall. But like I said, everyone's in on the act. All the candy salesmen are out there using the kids to make money for them. And then they get in their Mercedes and drive off and all this type of stuff seems to be, part of the problem in the school. The teachers don't run the schools anymore. But all this psychology, these problems, kids take them a lot better than people think. Now, it could be that kids today don't take them as well as they did 30 years ago because they're told they shouldn't. If you're not all torn up about this, then shame on you or something. But we see these people, everyone's in there telling the teacher how to teach their classes. And these are basically people that if they had to spend an hour in a classroom, they'd go nuts. I had a superintendent one time, and this was in the county when I started Scott when I was in the county. So it wasn't the Evansville superintendent, but he couldn't stand to spend only about 15 minutes in the classroom because he had to take a smoke. And I had a girl who had written a Christmas story. Her name was Christine. And Christine, she was one of the outstanding students. She had written this Christmas story that was about 8 pages long. And I said, Mr. So-and-so, I want you to read Christine's Christmas story. And Christine got up there and she read and read, and before long he's got to sit there tapping it. And as soon as she got done, he was gone. But he never came back and sat in my class. Let's see, where was I? Some of the most trying situations in our career, in my career, I guess would be negotiations and things like that when I was president of the Teachers Association.
What do you think about that? Or have you heard anything on, there's an article about block scheduling?
Yeah.
Sounds like it's kind of a rift between the union and the administration. And
I haven't really read about it. I probably try not to pay attention to it. They take old things and put new names on them, like block scheduling. I've got a lawsuit against the school board now, because when I retire, it's just as simple. They said, we'll pay your insurance until you're 65, and if it goes up in, we will pay the difference. Well, the ETA came out the next year and negotiated a new contract, and they said, well, that you're not covered anymore. I'm not a member of the ETA. They can't negotiate for me. So We got this up now. Every lawyer I've shown it to said I don't understand what their problem is. Pretty obvious, you know. But with me, it didn't amount to more than $60. But some of those teachers, it's going to amount to $50 a month for 4 or 5 years. And some of the younger teachers that retired when they were 55. I'd be interested to see Judge O'Connor make a decision on it before long. But trying situations, my trying situations were usually to do with being president of the Teachers Association, negotiations and things like that. I can't really think of any with teaching and teaching. Like I said, I have pretty good friendships. I can really knock any of them. The interesting thing was probably the best I had was the first one, and it was a woman principal. And when we came into the city system, she was afraid they'd fire and she quit. And it's a shame, but I'm sure they would have kept it. But she was afraid they wouldn't accept a woman principal in the city system. And I think she was wrong, but I can't really complain about any of the administrators, and I can't think of any really trying times I had in the future. Am I talking too much?
No, not at all.
I guess the thing that you feel most successful, when you feel most successful is one kid writes you when they're a senior in high school. That probably is the most important thing. A successful event in my career, I had a lot of them. My kids won the History Day a couple times. Being elected president of the Teacher Association, that was a pretty big honor at that time. It's hard to put one event over another. the best aspects of the teaching profession. Before I went into the Navy, when I got out of college, I worked for Idaho. And I decided then that I was going to go to college when I got out of the Navy. And you know where I go. And I always liked having the Sunday off. Not necessarily to get away from the kids, but like I said earlier, I really kind of look forward to going back in the fall. Just that break is what you need. The kids need it too. And if they go, and of course they have never listened to this from anyone else, but if they go with a year-round school, what they need to do is set it up on a semester basis, on a quarter basis, where the kids must attend, like, say it's on a semester basis, three semesters. They've got to have perfect attendance on those for two semesters. They can pick the two they want to go to, but if the parents are going to take vacations, then they pick which semester the kids might want to be in school. Mm-hmm. And that way you could make, because I think one of the most damaging things in the school system is the absenteeism. Kids, they lose respect for school and the teachers and everything else when they're always pulled out. There again, we had an administrator came from downtown, and I was going to talk to him about this, and then we got to do something about this attendance. The first thing he did was pull these kids out to go to spring training. And so, you know, that kind of went down the drain. There are a lot of little things that can build respect for the profession. And one is that you got to be there. Another is that I don't believe in uniforms. We all remember Hitler's children, but kids, parents should look at their kids and see how they go to school and how they're dressed. Some of the things they wear and some of the t-shirts and things like that. And there again, I don't think the schools should be passing laws saying you can't do this or that. The parents should do it. And once you have a school, if you get some kid for wearing a filthy jersey that says something nasty on it, the court's going to turn you down, and then you see a half a dozen. So this has all got to be done by the parents. This is the parent contribution. The schools not to run over there and tell the teacher how to teach their math class and that type of thing. And best aspects, like I said, you really, when you see good kids that like you, there is a certain reward there that you don't get in most jobs.
Yeah.
So there's, now, have you got any questions?
Anything you can tell, or maybe help us with, or any insight on us looking to be?
You need to be well prepared. Now it's going to really bother you at times when you have something prepared, and they pull the kids out to study the third verse of a song or something, and they're out of your class. But preparation, know what you're doing, let the kids know what you're doing. Like I said before, I think in all the years I've taught, I've paddled maybe three kids, and they were all for instance that happened out in the hall or on the playground. So I can't remember anything that happened in class. I have this one kid that I have heard all through school what a problem it was. And at this time I was teaching some sixth grade, and I got him in my class in the sixth grade. I thought I was teaching him. just torn those teachers to pieces on the lower level. And I looked around, I was talking, I looked at him, he wasn't paying attention. I said, you know, when I talk, you pay attention. And, don't do that. And about 2 minutes later, I had given an assignment, and I was walking up the hall, I mean up the aisle, and he was there, he wasn't doing it or something, and I reached down and grabbed him and took him out in the hall and told him, I said, in my class you're going to do what I say. And he came back with his wife years later. He said, I was behaved in Mr. Harrison's class. He said, I didn't do anything that first day, and I thought he was going to kill me. and but, you know, today, you don't really know how much, what you can do or anything like that. All I did was pick him up by the shoulders and aim him out the door, and I don't know if you can even do that anymore. The main thing is to know what you're talking about, to be ready, and spend a lot of time on organization, and know what you're going to do. It'll be disgusting at times because you're working real hard, and then they'll interrupt your class or something. But preparation, I'd say.
That seems like key we've been hearing in that class.
If you go in there and you don't know what you're doing, the kids are going to know that immediately. I learned that. I did my student teaching at Wheeler School, which is downtown Evansville, and boy, it was rough. Yeah. And I went in there, and I don't know if my supervising teacher thought I had taught before or not. It was my second day in there. And he left a note that he was down working on a math program. And I had these kids with screwdrivers taking the desk off. And he didn't come back for 2 weeks. Finally, the supervisor from U of E came out there, and she said, what's going on in here? And I said, I don't know where he is. And she got him squared away and got him squared away and got me squared away. I wasn't ready. It wasn't really my fault. I was going in there to try to find out what to do. But if that happens to you, act like you know what you're doing. I'd say, you know, if you go in there and if you're not ready, you're not going to get the job. Don't ever argue. I've seen some of the newer teachers would stand there and argue. You were there, and I wouldn't even argue with him. That's a problem. You learn also which kids you can kid around with and which ones you can't. Some you can, you know, I have one who's an attorney in town today. Big, tall, blonde-headed guy with almost platinum blonde hair and real light complexion. And I told him I'd stand him in the corner, but it looked like a mop thing against the wall or something. And he was always suing. I'd have this letter on my desk in the manila envelope where he was suing me to go down and have the principal sign it. For defamation of character and that type of thing. And he had this one thing in there one day, and it was written on pencil and lined paper, and he gave it to me, and I laid it aside. He said, you better read that. No, I'm not. So after they left, I got out and read it, and I took another piece of pencil written paper and tore it into 10,000 pieces, I guess, put it in the manila envelope, And he came in there the next day and said, did you read that? And I said, here's what I think of it. And I gave it to him. He said, you destroyed my property. And he said, you're all witnesses. Mr. Harris destroyed my property. And he went through this, and I got a sheet of paper. I said, what's this? I still hear from him every night. And then, it's Tim Klein, he's an attorney. Very nice guy. But I remember we had student council elections. You had 2 minutes to speak, and you could either speak or have someone speak for you. And a kid named Bobby Fenton was running for president, and Tim was going to, was giving his speech. And he had Bobby standing there with a tie around his neck, hanging way down to his knees. And the idea of the speech was, don't go by how they look, go by who they are. And I'll never forget Bobby standing there with a dumb looking tie. And he won.
That's pretty good. That's been the key so far.
What's that?
Being well prepared.
Yeah, it's if you go in there and don't know what you're doing, those kids will know. The same way if you ever do any student or substitute teaching. Look at that, the notes place that teacher left you ahead of time. We had strict rules at Perry Heights against chewing gum. And the main thing is, it winds up all over the place, people's hair and everything else. And here we have this guy, he's going to be a good guy. You also, everyone calls you Mr. You people can call me Bill. And it's all right if you want to chew gum. I wasn't a principal, but I went down and had a little talk with Bill between the classes. I had several student teachers over the years, and I was always a well-loving Mr. Mother's, and I hoped that they would do that after they left.
That seems to be a big key that we hear a lot about, is be prepared and be organized, be ready to.
Now, the problem with today is you don't know how well they'll let you use what you've organized. Yeah. I haven't been back to school. I was invited to come out and put on the Veterans Day program, and I really didn't know what to do. There's only one person or one thing I'm married to in the whole world, and that's my wife. Anything else I can walk away from. President Teachers Association. After I got done with that, I was done with it. Yeah. I didn't want to do it anymore.
That's good enough on that.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you want to get all that?
Yeah.